American Cassette Ministries welcomes you to part three of Lemonade, The Escape from Poland. Once again, here is Dr. Kay Kuzma to tell us about life after the war.
Sounds like you're enjoying the story. And we're way up in the air with what's happening when I left. Oh, the revolver, you remember. The Russian secret policeman has just come in, and he was the one who had seen Mother's watch, the one that she had gotten from her husband. And now her husband, she didn't know where he was, and she didn't want to give up this watch, so she had hidden the watch. And now late at night, this Russian soldier comes back, and you know how terrible and awful stories had circulated about Russian soldiers. Well, this Russian soldier came back, and he kept pointing to her watch. And she took off the one watch, which wasn't the real one, because she had hidden the one that her husband had given her. And she went and got another watch, but he knew it wasn't the right watch, so he kept pointing to the watch again. And she got another watch, and another watch, and another watch. And soon he got so angry that she wasn't giving him the right watch that he pulled out his revolver and put it to her head, and he again motioned to the watch. He wanted the watch that he had seen earlier that afternoon. What should she do? It was the only thing she had from her husband. And she didn't know if she would ever see him again. It was an expensive watch. She didn't want to give up that special keepsake. But she knew that he just indeed might pull the trigger. So finally, she decided she would have to give up that watch. And she shook her head yes and went over to the hiding place where she had put that watch, and she gave it to the man. The man put away his revolver and left. And quickly she bolted the door, and she breathed a sigh of relief, and she prayed a prayer of thanksgiving that the man had gone. But the next day, she got word that she was going to have to leave town. But the next day, she got a special announcement from the city that said, "You are no longer welcome in our town. We will give you 3 days to leave. 3 days to pack your suitcases and be on the train, or else." "What do you mean?" she said. "3 days to leave this house? Just look," she said, "at all the things we have now. We, once before, when we lived in Płock, we had to leave everything, our whole house behind. And now I've been able to buy things from the German people who wanted to leave, and sell things to the Polish people, and have more money to buy more things. And look, we have such beautiful things now. I don't want to leave again." And then she got an idea. Why, she knew some city officials. If she would just talk to those city officials, then maybe they would let her stay. And she talked to this person and that person, and she was sure now that she would be able to stay. So she didn't even worry about it. That was silly, having to leave the city. But on the third day, a knock came to the door. Again, the Russian secret police. With the notice, "You have 2 hours to leave your home, to get out of here, and you can only take 2 suitcases per person." "What? We have to leave in 2 hours? No way will I be able to get packed up." "2 suitcases per person, and you must be out of here in 2 hours." She realized that they meant business. She realized they wanted everything that she had there, because no way could she take it all with her. She began packing quickly. two suitcases per person. That meant they could take 10 suitcases, and that was it. She quickly packed, and when the 2 hours were up, they made sure that she left the house with her children. They ushered her to the railroad station and left her just standing right there on the railroad station. She had no idea where she would go, where the children would live now. And as they were standing there, and Mom went to try to get some tickets to just the next town, a man came up, saw Donna standing with the suitcases. She had two on each, one on each side of her. And the man came up, pushed Donna over, grabbed the two suitcases and ran. So by the time Mother got back, they were already down to 8 suitcases. And can you guess what were in the suitcases that this man stole? The most significant things that you could possibly imagine. All the children's clothing, all their underwear was in all these suitcases. So they got on the train having nothing to wear except what they had on. They got on the train, went to the next town, and got off in this strange town, not knowing anybody. And Mom began to knock on doors and to ask, are there any Seventh-day Adventists in this town? Because she knew if she could find somebody that went to the same church that her family went to, that certainly they would be able to find a place to live. But the town was overcrowded. There was no place to live. Finally, she went to this one home. And they had a lot of other people, 3 or 4 other families living in their house with them already. But they said, well, we do have a little corner down here in the basement that you could have to sleep in. Why, it was the middle of winter, and it was cold. And how long would your mother let you wear the same underwear before she needed to wash it? How, about one day? Well, this mother was a good mother, and she was not going to let her children wear dirty underwear. And, of course, they didn't have anything else because the man had stolen the suitcases with all the underwear and all the clothing. So when the day came for Mother to wash, the kids had to go to bed and wait there until she washed the clothes. Until the clothes were dried, and they didn't have dryers in those days. They just had to hang them up and wait for them to dry. And finally, after they were dried, then the kids could get up, get dressed, and play. Well, obviously, Mother decided that this was not really a good situation. And the kids hated to go to bed all day long or wear a blanket around them all day long with all those other people in the house. So Mother decided she was going to have to find a place for them to live. She went out every day, early in the morning, knocking on doors, looking for a place to live. She couldn't find anything. Day after day after day after day she searched, and still she couldn't find a place for them to live. Then one night, she had a dream. And in her dream, she saw this house with a red gate. And when she saw this house with a red gate, she knew that was the house that God had for them to live in. She woke up the next morning and woke up the kids, and she said, kids, today I'm going to find the house that we're going to live in. You are, Mother? How do you know? You've been searching for a week or so, and you haven't been able to find anything. Well, she said, I know. God told me last night that it's going to be a lovely house. In fact, it's going to be a house with a red gate. It is? Yes, said Mother. I'm going to go out really early today, and by nighttime, I will have found the place that we're going to live. You keep praying for me, she said as she left. Well, all day long, Mom searched up one street, down another street, over to the next street, down that street, around the corner, looking for this house that she had seen in her dreams. She forgot to eat lunch, into the afternoon, up one street, down another street, up this street, down that, around the corner, still searching for that house. The sun was beginning to go down. And she kept praying, "Lord, I know you have a house for us." And just as she was almost ready to give up, she turned a corner, and there was a vacant lot, and she looked across the vacant lot, and there was a house with a red gate. She ran across that vacant lot, up to the house, opened the gate, ran in, up to the door, knocked on the door, and this German couple opened the door. And she said, "Hi, my name is Elizabeth Kuzma, and I was wondering, could I live with my four children in your house?" How would you feel if someone came up to your house and said, "Excuse me, please, could I live with my four children in your house?" Wouldn't you think that rather strange? Well, this German couple said, "Isn't it amazing that you have come to us? Why, we were just talking about trying to find our sons. We have two sons that have been lost in the war. We don't know where they are right now. And we were thinking that we should probably leave our house and go search for them, to try to find them. And it would be wonderful to have you stay in our house while we're gone." And so that very next day, Mommy and her four children moved into this beautiful house. And this German couple had left everything behind. So they had everything they needed. And Yannick, for the first time in his life, had a dog to play with. Oh, and this was such a smart German Shepherd dog. But one time, about at Christmas time, this dog was just sniffing around in some bushes and kind of backed out of the bushes and had a $10 bill in his mouth. Yannick thought this dog was a pretty smart dog to go find money for him and to bring it back. They had a wonderful time in that house. But all the time, as Mommy started her business, selling things to the Polish people that needed it and buying things from the German people who wanted to get rid of their things, Mommy, all the time they started this business and were making lots of money, and the shelves started loading up with beautiful silver and china and all those lovely things. All the time they worried about, will they be asked to leave again? Will they be forced out of their home again? Will the secret policeman come again, the NKVD, and take everything they have? Day after day, they worried about this, and they prayed for the Lord's protection. And then, late one afternoon, they received an interesting visit. It was someone from church. What happened was the Polish minister from their church had gone to a camp meeting. And while he was at camp meeting, he met a lady who said to him, Do you know where the Kuzma family is? Do you know where Elizabeth and the children might be?" "Yes," he said, "they're in my church." "Oh, really?" she said. "I have wonderful news for them. I heard on the Red Cross radio broadcast that William Kuzma is alive." "Really?" said the pastor. "Where is he?" "He's in Germany. And apparently what they were trying to do after the war is to try to get families back together. And because they had been separated, the people who were trying to find each other called into the Red Cross, and hour after hour on the Red Cross broadcast, they would say something like, "William Kuzma in Germany, looking in the place in Germany where he was, looking for his wife and four children, Elizabeth and four children, last seen in Płock, Poland. Anybody knowing their whereabouts, please contact Red Cross Station number 406. Well, quickly, when that lady heard that broadcast that William Kuzma was looking for Elizabeth, she quickly wrote it down because she had known them before. And she wrote down that information, and now at camp meeting, she was trying to find somebody who knew where Elizabeth Kuzma was. And it's a good thing that Elizabeth and her four children were going to church and knew that pastor, because pretty soon that pastor came home from camp meeting, came right over to Elizabeth's house and said, "I have wonderful news. Your husband is alive and he's wanting to find you. He's in Germany." And the family was so excited. So they began writing back and forth. Now the interesting thing is, before William Kuzma got his wife's letter, he had a dream. He had a dream that there was a large evergreen tree. And flying around this evergreen tree were five white geese. And the white geese were flying around the tree and then settled on the ever branches. And he thought that was such an interesting that he went to one of his friends who was also a pastor, who was there in the camp in Germany. And he said, "What does that dream mean?" The pastor said, "Well, it means that you will hear that the five members of your family," and that he got the that came station that she and the five were all alive. He was so excited. "You've got to bring and escape from Poland and come into Germany where I am." Well, she got that letter. And she wrote back to him. And she said, "Where are you living?" And he said, "Well, I'm living in a displaced persons camp." "Well, what kind of a home is that?" "Well, it's not really a home. It's just a camp until we can find a place to live. Until we can go to America." He had a dream and wanted to come to America. "Well," said Elizabeth, "I live in a beautiful home with a red gate. You come to Poland." "Oh, no," he said. "I don't want to go back into Poland. There's no freedom there. Here there's freedom. I want to go to America and give my children a chance to have the education they deserve, to have the religious freedom they deserve." Well, Elizabeth wrote back and said, "Wait a minute. What kind of money are you making?" And he said, "I'm not making any money." But Elizabeth said, "I'm making lots of money. You come to Poland." "No," said William. "You come to Germany." And all this time, Elizabeth was making a lot of money. Beautiful things on the shelf. She was doing very well. She was such a sharp businesswoman. And then one day it happened. There was a knock on the door. And tomorrow I will tell you who was at the door.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.